What's going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Interracial Odd Couple Podcast, episode 27 up in this piece. I'm your man, Sife, with my favorite person in the world,
Gina.
And thank you for tuning in for another week of our episode. We appreciate every one of you guys that check in with us and take some time out of your schedule to just be entertained by our quirky, goofy asses.
Yeah, yours.
Yeah. You want to be funny, huh? You want to throw a little joke of my baboon ass action going on right now? Ladies and gentlemen, man, imagine where you have a pimple in one of the most annoying spots on your body and multiply that by 200 and call it a boil. And I have it in the crack of my meaty ass, man.
I know.
It's just been killing me. And Gina's been just enjoying life, giggling at me. Teabagging me to death.
I did. I teabagged him.
And not with a strap on. Why do you think this is so amusing? This shit is painful. I am sitting on my throne right now. As of recording time, and my butthole been itching and everything, man. I know this is just an awkward way to start off a podcast, but hey, man, we here already since you want to crack jokes. What have you been putting in the tea bags?
Let's see. I put some plantain, nettles, calendula, and some uva ursi.
Uva what?
Uva ursi.
I asked you that the first time you said that.
Yeah.
When it was dripping in between my manliness.
Yep.
Man, this shit hurt. And older people that listen to our podcast, we appreciate you guys. Y'all know what we talking about, man. You know, it gets even funnier, too. The older you get. You know what? I have a whole newfound respect for old people that do porn. I'm serious.
Corn?
Porn.
Porn, okay.
P as in penis, O-R-N, porn. Okay. I have a whole new respect for geriatric senior citizens out here getting their 27-cent coffee and getting it in. I'm like, Jesus. Damn.
Okay, all right.
I don't know how they do it.
Don't know either.
Yeah, because it's so funny. I'm climbing on top of my baby the other night, you know, trying to shift my butt cheeks in a certain way that doesn't aggravate it and get it all pissed off with that little shop of horror near screaming, feed me, see more, like, nah, exit only. And my fucking bones is popping on top of you. You just start laughing, too. You're like, you know, my hips don't work the same. Oh, shit, man. Getting older. I mean, I don't care about getting old, but getting older as far as physically fucking sucks.
Funny.
But I appreciate the fact that I get to grow older and grow old with the person that I choose to grow old with. And that is one thing that I will always appreciate.
Aww.
Is I get to grow old with you.
Yeah,
and we can crack jokes about it. It's okay. There's a lot of people out there in their respective relationships growing older together, too. And just having some problems. Just having a little bit of problems. Hey, man, horny go wee, man. Get you some.
Some maca root.
Speaking of which, you've been growing the ashwagandha and everything, too.
Yes, ashwagandha is very good for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
That helps.
Are you ready to harvest the roots out of it?
Yeah, I'll harvest the root in probably another couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'll let those last few flowers turn to seed. Yep.
You looking forward to that, huh?
I am. I'm.
What have you learned about it so far?
Ashwagandha?
Yeah.
It's good for memory and...
Yeah. I got turned on to it a long time ago when I used to purchase it at like different health food stores or different supplement stores and stuff like that.
Yep. It's very good for you. So I harvest all the seeds, so we have tons of seeds.
And I didn't know there was that many seeds inside of those red berry-looking things, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, lots of seeds. And I lost a few, so we might have volunteers next year.
That ain't volunteers. That's just called us being negligent.
No, that's a surprise. Oh, there you were. Whoops.
Yeah, it is what it is. A lot of people know that about gardening, though.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty easy, too, when you get a little overzealous and stuff like that, too. And you plant a bunch of stuff and you forget what the fuck you planted.
I did that the first year with radishes. I was like, the whole seed packet. Okay. And I just put the whole seed packet in the row.
Whoops.
Yeah, none of them grew.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of seed pods. That's what I learned, what seed pods were.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are cool. Very good in salads.
I tore them up in salads that first year.
Yep.
Very and then good. We ain't had none ever since because we knew how to grow radishes.
Right. No, I let a few of them go so we can have them salads.
But, yeah.
But that's about it. This year, I didn't have any that grew because they all looked amazing.
Yeah, we actually grew radishes. Only took us 5 years to figure that out, right?
Right.
Proper spacing and everything else, even though it says it directly on the packaging.
Right.
But it also takes time, too, to cultivate your soil to grow different things this year. Like our okra plants this year are already about 9 feet tall. And they're getting ready to get uprooted. And I think I'm going to play... There's it's so like... hard to say goodbye to yesterday when I uproot them and take them out for the winter.
Those roots are going to be massive.
I know.
I mean, they're bulging through.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been awesome, though. Because what did you do just a few days ago? And I posted it on our Instagram page. If you guys want to check us out at Interracial Odd Couple Podcast with underscores underneath each word.
Right. I spent like about 4 or 5 hours breading cucumbers, okras.
She's a keeper.
I'm like, I cutting them up. And I
brothers love fried okra, man.
Getting them freezed.
Yep. So we can have bags of them this winter, man. Hell yeah. And that's something, that's something to be proud of and a testament to how hard we've worked during the summer. That we can still enjoy the fruits of our labor during the winter.
Yep.
Hell yeah, man. I'm looking forward to that.
It's very fun.
Yeah. If you guys checked us out on our live episode last week, we definitely appreciate you guys that checked us out on that. That is Ghost. He was laying on the couch the whole damn time next to Gina.
Now he's a dirty little mutt.
Because we welcome to Gotham City this week.
We're all cold and rainy.
Welcome to Gotham City. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about on this particular episode, and we will visit and we will go back to what we talked about on our previous episode about diving into the psychology of being in an interracial relationship and how putting yourself in each other's shoes makes you feel each and every day. We will revisit that. But one thing we will talk about this week is when do you realize or when did you realize, depending on how old you are in your history in life, you were with the wrong one?
Or when should you realize?
That too. That too. Let's start off with this, babe, especially from a woman's perspective. What's the right one and what's the wrong one? Let's start with the right one.
Right one what?
When you know you're with the right one, before we get to the nitty gritty. Obviously, you can crack jokes about being old and and sexual experiences in the bedroom is getting a little geriatric and smelling like desitin.
I don't know. It really was a different feeling. I mean that is for sure. The other ones, it was another different feeling. It was just sometimes it was a nagging feeling. Sometimes it was, you know.
Okay, pause right there. We're just going to segment it a little bit. What do you mean by a nagging feeling? Nagging in the back of your head or your subconscious or?
No, just like, I don't know, like a gut feeling almost. But you're not paying attention to any of it because you think you're feeling all these other feelings.
But that one nagging feeling is overshadowing everything else subconsciously? I'm just asking the questions because...
Yeah, I mean, in my experience anyways, it did. It was always there. I mean, I didn't realize that that's what it was until later, yes. But that nagging feeling's there.
Well, you never know until later, looking back at
right.
it. Right. Before it's already too late.
But that's how I could distinguish the feelings, because I figured out that feeling. Or that it wasn't right. That I kept, you know, when you beat something you're beating a dead horse over and over and over again, trying to make, you know, things perfect, trying to make things right, trying to make things, you know, or fix things. I'm a fixer anyways. I fix everything.
Well, baby, that's because that's your empathetic nature.
So,
and there's nothing wrong with being an empath. Speaking of which, you know, different people that are listening to our podcast, I want everybody to understand something about our platform, that we invite and welcome everybody from all different walks of life and whatever lifestyle you choose to live. Mm-hmm. And Gina is one of those empaths. If you go even into our Instagram page yet again, I did post a picture of us wearing our shirts, our famous shirts, if you want to check it out. And I said, I vow to always protect my empath.
Yeah, I'm because a strange
No, that's not strange. That's just caring and being an empath, being empathetic.
It is hard. It is.
And feeling like I could fix the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not one person at a time. It's like a million of you at a time. I'll fix you. And then it's overwhelming, and then I'm dying.
But
there's too many of you.
But what I'm doing is just kind of breaking certain parts of this down, because it is going to lead into what I feel like you're going to end up saying. So.
Oh, good.
Where'd I leave it off? So basically, you were talking about how you felt like you could fix a person.
Right. So
we're talking about when you realize you're with the right one or the wrong
one. And it's not only that, just trying to fix it. It's like, well, maybe they'll change, or maybe they'll, you know, see what they're doing, or maybe they'll understand they're doing it wrong. And, you know, I just got to wait it out. It's like, well, no, that's just, how long are you going to wait it out? I waited it out, like, you know, long time. Mm-hmm. So... But, and then, you know, you got to realize, you know, enough's enough, and then you got to go.
So what were some of the observations that you made that you felt like needed to change, or you wanted that particular individual to mature in or grow from, things that you were sitting back waiting out for? Give specific examples.
Anything, like, you know... I'm not an attention-seeking person, ever. I prefer attention to be on everybody else. But there's also that communication.
There's a balance.
Yeah, the communication. Or I'm not an affectionate person either, in the least bit.
I could tell by the way you've been laughing at the pimple in my asshole.
I'm an empath, but I'm not affectionate, right? Weird. I told you I'm weird. It's just I'm afraid to, I'm afraid to show you that I can be that way, because if I showed you that, then maybe the world's going to know, and then I'm just going to burst into pieces. So I can't show you. So I can't hug you. I can't stay away. I don't want to burst into pieces. Mm-hmm. So I'm not an affectionate person.
Do you feel like that has been a flaw in your past relationships or no?
No, because the other people weren't affectionate either. So I thought this is cool. Bonus. Yeah.
Emphasis so, on when it, you know... And when you realize you're with the right one or the wrong one. Go ahead, babe.
But there's also a fine line. I do want that, but I don't want to give it.
You're being selfish or right? Not selfish?
I came from two very selfish people, so hello.
So did I, and so did a lot of us.
So, mm-hmm. I do want to give it, though. So... In terms of, you know, being with somebody that's completely blocked off, and then me, I want to be not blocked off, and it'd be easier if the other person wasn't blocked off. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, it could flow a little better. Better. There we go.
Yeah. Bitter was a word, too. Yeah.
Like with you, you are affectionate. You are, you know... very attentive, and
it drives you nuts.
It does drive me nuts, because, like, again, I don't give that to somebody else.
Joseph. Yeah, I don't need you. I quit asking.
I got it. No.
Mm-hmm. You think that's part of it is because of how you've been conditioning your previous relationships? Part of it?
No, that's just because I've always been that way. Just I think always been my that parents way. Just growing me up that too. Way.
No, I mean, these are questions that, you know.
I don't know.
That I'm sure a lot of people are definitely
interested in.
Honestly,
I probably conditioned myself that way.
Because you've always been guarded.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And why do you feel like you've always had to be guarded?
Because I had crazy parents. Family.
Yeah, but a lot of people do. And a lot of people do come from crazy backgrounds, crazy families, or broken families, and you name it. Yeah. Yeah, you name it. We got an interesting dynamic about our family past, individually and respectfully. Mm-hmm. And we definitely do. So, give a specific example of when you knew, and it could be anybody in your past, when you knew this ain't it. That particular moment. Because there's always a particular moment where you realize, you know what? Even though you've had the nagging feelings, mm-hmm. and I've had those kind of feelings too, a lot of people do, and a lot of people have, or currently may be having right now. When was that particular moment where it was right there in your face or something that had happened where you was like, you know what? It's over. It's going downhill from here.
With my first husband, it was probably right away, but I didn't leave right away because I figured, you know, he was going to change. But then,
as a quick side note, you were also how old?
I was only 18.
There you go. So just for context,
but I didn't know any better.
But
anyway,
exactly. Just for context, for people to understand where you're coming from.
But then the boys got a little bit older. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't with him for very long, no.
But you had all your children
left at
with
21.
Him.
21. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all my kids were with him. I think we got together a little bit after, like right before I turned 17, I think. And then I got pregnant at 17.
Mm-hmm.
Married at 18.
Mm-hmm. So it was just already like you knew from the beginning, like
it
this is
bad.
Not the way it's supposed to go.
But I you were made trying to, my own you know, shotgun wedding. I said, "You fucked yourself. You're getting married. That's it." Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's,
you
man,
did it,
man. And that, yeah.
You better suck it up.
Like, but you know what? A lot of people are. I shouldn't say victim to it, but a lot of people fall into that. You know, we got to keep it traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's family values and what you were raised to believe. You never get divorced. You never do this. You never do that. If you had sex with this person, that's the person you're going to marry. But
so then it was the thing that made me change hugely was the fact that he was hitting me, which didn't bother me. I didn't give a fuck. I mean, you're going to fucking beat me. I'm going to fucking hit you back. I don't know how many times. This is why I brought up that I don't know how many times I could have went for ATV because this little bitch would fucking call the police and then she bit me. And I'm like, you just threw me in the fucking stereo system. Really?
Yeah. And kids don't even know what that is right now. What's a stereo system? A stereo? I have my phone.
Right.
Yeah.
So like... You're choking me on the ground. What else am I going to do? I'm going to fucking use my teeth, dude.
Like, I'm going to take it to the streets.
Yeah, call the cops. Mm. And she bit me. Yeah, come on. Little bitch. I'm going, okay.
Yeah.
Daddy, come get me. I'm going to go to jail. Yeah.
Protect your wives and daughters, man.
So what ended up happening was the boys were getting a little bit... Then I got pregnant with my second one.
Mm-hmm. Your middle one?
Yeah. And the boys were getting a little bit older. And I'm like, no. Mm-mm. You know, I can deal with this shit. I can deal with this the rest of my life, whatever. Because one of us is going to end up dead and it definitely ain't going to be me. So.
You see why I love her, y'all. You see why I love her, ladies and gentlemen.
But it's. Those boys, and I'm not going to let them grow up thinking that this is okay.
Even seeing that type of stuff, see that type of behavior, thinking it's so, okay and acceptable to treat a woman like that.
This is it.
Yeah.
So then I got knocked up again, and I'm like, oh, hell no, not one more out of this fucker. Uh-uh. I bounced. Not even 2 months after I
found out
knew I was pregnant with her.
With a third?
Yeah. And it's like, nope.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I was like, we done. You just,
You ain't it. But let's go ahead and take a pause on this part of it. After two children being born, pregnant with a third, abusive. And I'm sure there was other things he was probably doing, because a person that's abusive feels like they could do anything.
Right. Well, at this point, they can
probably go fuck other bitches and do all this other shit.
At this point,
right?
I'm freaking out. I am 20.
Jesus.
Two
Christ.
Kids, one on the way, moving back into my parents. I'm freaking out. I'm like, I have a really good job, but I'm still freaking out.
Yeah.
Because I have to find daycare.
Yeah.
So the kids are having to stay.
But pause on that too. Because you knew you had to do that because maybe did you feel like you knew he wasn't going to be able to do that? Wasn't going to be able to provide for the kids or?
Oh, he never provided. I always did. I had a good job. He would never work. He still doesn't work. At this point, I'm like fucking just like life is shit. Because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And he has it in my head, nobody's going to want me.
Nobody's going to want
you. You know, three kids and this and that. Nobody's want me. And I'm like, what am I doing? What am I going to do? I'm just going to have to go back. And
those
I'm like,
are those
I can't go
games.
Back. And, you know, here comes husband number two. Oh, fucking joke.
Well, this wasn't in hindsight. Don't talk. Well, no, you can talk how you want about it. Go ahead and talk about it, baby. It's your narrative.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm getting rid of this one that's coming. So.
You already knew that in the beginning?
I was getting rid of Janae. I was going to have an abortion. I was like, this is not.
Oh,
no.
Okay. You're talking about
I wasn't
okay.
going to have. See, I wasn't. Okay. No, don't be mad at me. I was not going to have another one with this one.
Well, I'm sure a lot of women know that there's nothing for her to even be mad about if she's
like,
listening to this particular episode, because a lot of women.
Knows.
Well, yeah, of course. But there's a lot of women that have those thoughts and have those feelings. So you're being open and honest
about
it.
And
you're keeping it G.
And I only have, I have two already.
You're barely, you're barely 21. Yeah.
I haven't even turned 21 yet.
That's what I'm saying. You're barely 21.
So. I was like, oh, here he comes. Husband number two. I just love you. I wanna take care of you and her. You want me? Yeah. Well, I have two others. Oh, okay. Huh? Yeah. Okay.
Damn, Gina!
That's fucking how it went.
Okay. That's literally the conversation?
Yeah.
And that sold you?
Nobody wanted me. He did, okay.
Because you put it in your head to feel like you were less than what you are at the time. Husband number one.
Yep, okay. And then walked in husband number two pretty quickly.
All right.
So, yep. Shit didn't go as planned.
It rarely does.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. It rarely does.
Nope.
So, number two.
Yeah, 2 years was great.
The first 2 years?
Yeah.
That's that new car smell that I always
right?
talk about. When you get that new car, it's like it got that new car
perfect.
Smell. It ain't got no dings and scratches on it. And it's just like, oh,
I mean,
shit.
We did go through hail, though. And it was still good.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a stalker ex-husband. I'm going to kill myself. Okay.
I'm on the highway.
Okay.
Man, that's just...
I'm at your front door. Do you even know where that is?
No.
Okay.
Right, I mean... Yeah.
It was a mess. So, it was fine. And then all of a sudden, just light bulb switched.
Okay. So you had another moment.
No, I just thought, you know, maybe he's going through something that he ain't saying. Because he ain't talking no more, so I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And like, I think 10 years later, I was like, shit, you didn't change. You just, but after like, after I would say like, maybe 4 years in, it was just like repetitive, same shit.
Husband number two.
Yeah. Mm. Repetitive. Just.
What do you mean by that?
It's like, what is going on? Is something wrong? Are we going to, you know, and it would just be the same thing. And I would tell him, oh, if this continues, we're not going to be together. Do you understand this? Because there's nothing here. What is this? I mean, I don't understand. I'm trying to talk to you, and you just sit there blankly, like I'm talking to a wall. Mm-hmm. You know, and it continued. So I figured, you know, maybe you just snap out of it. Nope, it was the same person. And I think it was then that, you know, that 4 year mark when I started saying we're not going to be together.
And so it took 4 years. First 2 years was good. Went through hell, though.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later, what was going on between year two and year two, three, and four?
It was just the same.
You said just repetitive. I mean, what
it
do you
was,
mean?
It was just a slow decline of just weird stuff, getting into his own little routine of what he does and just sticking to it, mainly computer games or PlayStation or work, and that was it. And he got into that pattern for probably like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. I mean, I literally had to
put yourself in his world or
get into a game with him, and actually for us to have a conversation, I had to have a headset on, and we were in the same fucking room.
Wow.
And it got just really weird. So I was just like, yep.
That is an interesting dynamic.
It was strange.
But for some people, that does work for them.
I guess.
For some people, but it just didn't work for you.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
That's deep.
I guess.
That is deep.
Oh, okay.
The psychology behind that, that's deep because, you know, we've seen memes and stuff like that over the years of people in relationships of, well, I had to buy my husband a new PlayStation and stuff like that, or my wife a new computer and stuff. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool if that's how y'all rock and that's how y'all get down. But it sounded like to me at the time, and even I'm really reflecting back on details of what you're saying right now, like, damn, babe, that's crazy. Of you were wanting more. It sounded like to me he promised you more, or maybe expected more.
I don't expect anything. You know, I don't expect nothing from nobody. You know, life is life. If you know, if you're gonna be who you are, then be who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, not difficult. I mean, that ended up being who he was or wanted to be, or who he didn't want to be, or I don't know,
or who she really is,
or he realized
a lot of people, I'm sure, are having these, you know, really jogging their thoughts and memories right now in their respective relationships that listen to our podcast right now, of like, yo, I mean, is this something that she's always wanted to be, or something that she's always been, or it could be any of those things. There's a lot of variables.
You know, it ended up to a point to where I thought that I thought maybe, because he didn't connect with any of the kids anymore, or didn't want to, you know, he didn't want them around, he didn't want anything like that. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's just, he's just not wanting to, or he bit off more than he could chew, and now he's just realizing the shit. This sucks. And I told him from the beginning, mm-hmm. I'm like, if you ever want out, if this is ever too much, because it's too much for me. I'm like, you don't have to fucking stay. You don't ever have to fucking stay. And I don't care.
And that's dope that you even said that.
Because,
I mean, honestly, you're
fucking nuts taking this shit on.
And pause right there. That's great that you even said that and you even presented that, because you've been real. You were real. It sounds like you were real. Like, yo, this is too much. This is too much for you. Because, of course, I mean, you know, me being a mom and I've had 3 kids, you know, at a young age and stuff. There's a lot of things. I'm still growing up, too. I'm still trying to figure shit out. If this is too much for you, let me know. Let me know what time it is. And I will not take it personally, is basically what you were saying.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, is what you were saying.
I wouldn't have done it. I mean... Yeah, how many?
But the fact that you said it, a real man, and I'm not throwing shots, I'm just saying a real man or a real woman in that particular situation would look at it like, you know what? This is a time to really evaluate whether this is really too much or I need to go. If I can handle it or I can't handle it. If I can live with this or can't live with this. But you know what? That is the ultimate respect that you could give your spouse or your significant other if you're in a similar situation.
Because if we're having to have this kind of conversation, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's not right.
Right. Right.
The energy's off. The vibe's off. The everything is not coinciding. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong.
Right. And in the same time, which is crazy, just looking in hindsight from basically what you're saying right now, is it was doing a lot of damage to the kids too.
It was. And that's where I thought, okay, well, maybe he would change. He'll change after the kids are 18 and they're gone. And then we can have a normal life and maybe he'll be better. And then I got to thinking, fuck that. I'm not going to put my kids through this to make sure they make them wait until they're 18 and we don't have a normal functioning life because of him. That's not fair.
And the damage that's being imposed upon him too at the same time.
I said, this is done. We're done. I'm done. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
What do I got to figure out? How do I do it to figure out? I did it once before, but that was easier.
And you, and knowing you and how long I've been with you, I'm pretty sure you actually brought up that subject and had that conversation. I know you did. I know you did. Like, yo, this is done. What are we going to do? I know you had that conversation.
I tried everything. I was like...
But do you feel like... I don't know. Do you feel like maybe... This is just my observation of what I'm hearing. He felt like he was more important than the kids. And you should give him more attention than the kids.
I had 4 children, no joke. My 3 and him. I had 4 children. He did nothing but go to work, come home, and play the video games. He did nothing else. I cooked, I cleaned, I took care of the kids, I did all the running around. There's nothing that he did. I paid all the bills. Yeah. There's not a single thing he did. That's that. Yeah, I was overwhelmed. So sometimes I would get mad. I mean, we wouldn't argue. We never argued towards the end because I was fed up.
That's why you didn't argue. Honestly, that's why you didn't argue. Because it came to a tipping point. You were at a boiling point. And at that point, you was like, you know what? I can't contain this anymore. I can't continue to allow this anymore. And that's when shit started hitting the fan.
Oh, it did hit the fan, didn't it?
We ain't got to... I came along in there somewhere towards the end of that. And no, and don't get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. I did not play Captain Save-A-Ho. I did not do that at all.
No,
if you go back to previous episodes, even in last year's season, we do allude and talk about this. We do allude to it and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, if you, I mean, for young people that are listening right now, maybe not even so young, of people that are listening right now, as far as women, and in general, of course, what would you encourage them to do if they're in a particular situation or relationship right now? They have children. What would you tell? Okay, let me put it this way. If you could go back in time and talk to the 18-year-old you, what would you say right now?
Don't do it. Do your initial plan. Turn 18, run away. Just fucking do it. What the fuck were you thinking? You idiot.
That's how real you are with yourself. But what would you tell other kids out here and young adults and not even young adults?
Just don't
do
it. What would
you do? Don't do it. What if they're already in it?
Run. Just run. Doesn't matter where you go, just run.
Well, babe, this is a pretty open, honest podcast that we've had about, you know.
I know, don't tell nobody. It's a secret.
No, yeah, okay. Thank you for everybody that continues to listen to us each and every week.
Don't judge me.
Ain't nobody judging you at all. There's no reason for anybody to judge you right now.
That's good.
Because that was real. That was your experiences. That were your life experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, you know.
Of course, of course. But you know what? I mean, shit. That's premium content.
That was just the edited.
No. I mean, that's just a clip note version of it. But, yeah, that was real. And that was deep. And that was honest. And a lot of people need some sort of encouragement to turn to feel like, yo, I mean, this ain't new experiences that you're going through, especially if you're younger than us. It's not new experiences. And you're not alone in these experiences and these things that you are having to face in your life and deal with in your life. And you're not alone in it. You're definitely not alone in it.
Mm-mm. No. Those gut instincts, they're there.
Yeah.
You just gotta, they scream. Sometimes they scream in funny different ways. Like when I was getting married at the courthouse, with my second husband, I had a panic attack during the middle thing. And they thought I was just crying because I was so happy. No, I was having a panic attack. I was. And he kept holding my hands. He's like, stop it. Stop it.
No, I ain't going to tell you to stop. Who? He telling you to stop it?
Because I was trying to pull my arms away. I was having a panic attack.
You were trying to run in.
Probably. I don't know what was going on, but I was having a panic. And I didn't know at the time what panic attacks were.
Yeah.
But now that I look back at it, I was having a literal panic attack. And they thought I was just so happy and excited. And I was like crying, sobbing. Crazy. I was sobbing.
Oh, just, man. Somebody steal me away.
I couldn't breathe. I didn't want to stand there.
And even at that time, you were what? 20 what?
As an 05, I think. So it'd have been, let's see. Maybe 20, yeah. About 25.
Yeah.
I think so. 24, 25. I think 25.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't good.
So basically, that was really where you had the moment of knowing that, you know, even though the first 2 years were great.
It's just looking back on everything when you,
of course,
when you finally,
hindsight 2020.
Yeah, when you finally, everything just clicks and you look back on all the different, you know, strange moments.
Yeah. Or moments, like, that you didn't think were strange at the time. Or,
you know,
didn't know what a panic attack was.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have never done it.
Well, being young and inexperienced is part of life.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And trying to navigate through life and having to grow up overnight, especially being 17, knocked up, 18, having a baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of time for self-development at that point.
Nope, not. Remember, you know, I had to learn everything on my own. I learned all the adult stuff on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I learned how to do the washer by myself.
When you found the spice aisle. That's an episode, by the way. Look it up.
I had to learn to cook.
Yeah.
Now I'm just, I don't know, in love with cooking. Yep.
Well, if there's any words of encouragement you can give young men and women out here right now that are in a tough relationship right now, it may not be a bad relationship, but in a tough particular situation right now, what would you say to them?
It doesn't last forever. And if it is lasting not forever, get out. Mm. But it doesn't last forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everybody, that has tuned into this episode of the Interracial Odd Couple Podcast. I let Gina rock this week.
I guess so.
Next week, I'm going to answer the same question.
Ooh.
Of when did you realize?
You better write those down for me so I can.
No, you're going to write down your own questions. I'm sure you're going to probably think about it, which is fine. Because I will talk about it openly and honestly on the microphone, too. Because I also have some things that I definitely need to share, too, that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to.
Well, my
in particular situations, too, in relationships and past relationships and all the shitty shit above.
Oh, dear.
And shitty shit below. No, but
well,
yeah, that is definitely, yeah, that was definitely a great, great episode that we just recorded with you being open and honest, especially from a woman's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
On the tough times that I'm sure a lot of our young people are dealing with right now or currently going through right now and don't even realize it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women, both.
Yep.
Yep. But next week I will answer the same questions.
You got.
I will have the same things, or I should
don't
say.
Don't say the same thing.
No, I will have the same thoughts on, you know, where I come from and things that I went through in my past, and when I realized I was with the wrong ones, and then when I realized I was with the right one.
Mm-hmm.
So this might be a 3-part series.
Oh. All right.
Because I'm gonna talk about everything that was wrong in my past. Shit.
Oh. Okay.
With these chickens out here. Mm-hmm. With these Canaanite mm-hmm. women. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
We had a mess in the beginning.
Hold that thought.
We'll hold it.
Thank you, everybody, for checking in with us once again this week. Thank you for taking the time out to listen to us. If you're going through some tough times right now, as always, stay positive. Positive vibes.
Yes.
Staying what?
High and right.
And I definitely want to end this episode with a special happy birthday to my father.
Happy birthday.
It is his birthday this weekend. Happy birthday, Pops.
Have a fun one.
Yep. And I know he's ready to go because he said his back been killing him.
Uh-oh.
And he's making sure he's getting healed up because I told him straight up, you know I'm coming. You know I'm coming through, man.
Coming.
I'm coming through. So thank you, everybody, for checking out our podcast. If you want to follow us on our social medias, we are at Interracial Odd Couple Podcast with underscores on Instagram. You can follow us on ILC Podcast on Twitter. We also have a Facebook group, and I was finally able to capitalize the lowercase I to an uppercase I at Interracial Odd Couple Podcast. It is a private group, so you will definitely have to request to even be in there.
Yep.
Any parting words you want to leave anybody this week, honey? Besides telling everybody my business before we get into next week's episode?
Nope. Just again, be kind.
Yeah.
The world needs it.
Yeah. Spread the positivity.
Yeah, please.
The best you can.
Yes. Everybody's going through it. So just be kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my girl.
Yes.
Laughing at my baboon ass. Thank you, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Asses. I mean, deuces.
Shit.
Really? My shit itching, man.
Fix it.
You scratch it for me?
No. Do it yourself.
Come on, baby. Show some love.
Love yourself.
Fucked up.
I know.